Blog Talk Radio.
Another edition of TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. As always, I'm your host, Anthony Donahue, with you, going to take you throughout the night here on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. As always, you can hit me up on Facebook, facebook.com/TonyRiceBalls. You can follow me on Twitter, AnthonyMSG. And of course, you can call up this show at 646-478-5554. Once again, that's 646-478-5554. And we're back on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Forgive me for a little technical difficulties. I guess it's the first show back from the All-Star break, so stuff happens. As I said, you can hit me on Facebook, facebook.com/TonyRiceBalls. You can follow me on Twitter, AnthonyMSG. And, of course, you can call up this show at 646-478-5554. Once again, that's 646-478-5554. To pick up some tickets to the Knicks games at the Garden, make sure to hit up charge.fm. And if you want to sell some Knicks tickets at the Garden, charge.fm has you covered. As I said, 646-478-5554. Got a big show planned for you tonight. In a little while, we'll be joined by Alan Hahn from the MSG Network. And we'll get into stuff going on with the New York Knicks in the first half, what to expect in the second half, and it's been a... Well, first, let me get into the New York Post today. The New York Post had an article about my sister, written by Tara Palami, and I'm very grateful about the article. The pictures of John are awesome. Got, you know, pictures with Landry Fields, Tyson Chandler in the article in the paper. So, so happy for my sister. She really deserves it, as all you guys know, and followers of the show, and fans of the show, and supporters, and friends, that if there's anybody that deserves it, it's her. Just to... it's just a great feeling to think of where life was, you know, year and a half ago, to articles written in the big New York papers about her and pictures of her and other people wanting to do stories about her. It's absolutely an incredible story. So I thank you all for your support. So if you want to call up and even talk about that and what Jonna meant to you as an inspiration, that's cool with me. 646-478-5554. And wow, I think we have a wild second half to go. 31 games left. It almost feels like 31 games in 5 days, how it's going to be. But what's good is that as much as I love watching the Knicks, and you love watching the Knicks, and we love watching the Knicks, it's actually a great thing. The Knicks practice Monday. They practice yesterday. They're going to play tomorrow at home against the Cavs, and they're going to practice Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and play in Boston on Sunday before a nice little road trip where the Knicks basically almost play every day in March. But the Knicks are treating these practices right now like a mini training camp, as they should, because not only from the short training camp to begin with, you're still trying to find your way. You're still trying to get new guys in. I mean, you just acquired, it kind of started with Jeremy Lin February 4th. It's kind of like you just acquired Jeremy Lin, and then you lose Amari and Carmelo for a couple weeks, and now you bring back Amari to the mix. He plays a couple games. Now you bring back Carmelo to the mix. He plays a couple games. Yeah, J.R. Smith. J.R.'s first game was against Dallas. Carmelo's first game back was the next night against the Nets. Then you add Baron Davis to the mix. His first game back was against the Nets last Monday. So there's a lot of pieces that are just thrown into the puzzle. Now, it's pieces that can work, but it's pieces that are going to take time. I'm not saying the Knicks are going to win their next 10 games. A lot of tough games coming up on the schedule. But the Knicks have a lot of pieces now to make a run this year. Am I going to say championship? I don't know. And I think that's the thing about the Knicks. Listen, you never know if your team's going to win at all. You could have been a Laker fan last year, gone into the playoffs, and said, oh, we're going to win it all. And you get swept by the Mavs in the second round. That's the beauty of basketball. That's the beauty of sports. But with this Knicks team, man, it's really such an unknown because we have no idea, are they going to gel? Can they all play together? I think another big question is, and I mean, I'm not saying he's going to or he's not going to, can Jeremy Lin keep up this pace? Can he play at the level the rest of the season that he played at, you know, from the Nets game to the Hawks game? Can he? I think he can. And the thing about Jeremy Lin, as he's a subject of all conversations, all New Yorkers, all people around the globe, for crying out loud, is that for the Knicks to be successful this season and to make a run in the playoffs this spring, Jeremy Lin doesn't have to be great. Jeremy Lin has to be good. If Jeremy Lin is good, the rest of the team can be great. He can still have his moments, shows, and flashes of greatness. But Jeremy Lin does not need to be great. He doesn't. He just needs to get guys the ball, play decent defense, and figure out chemistry with the guys who score the ball and who score the ball for a living. Guys like Amari Stoudemire. Figure out the pick and roll. Figure out where Carmelo Anthony likes the ball to catch the ball. One or two dribbles, pump fake, do whatever he does and score. Figure out how to set up J.R. Smith and Steve Novak for some of those bombs. Figure out that stuff. And if Jeremy Lin can be good at that, the game becomes so much easier. And he doesn't necessarily have to be great. I mean, if he's great, then all the better. All the best if he's great. But for the Knicks to be successful, I don't think he has to be great. I think he has to be good. I think he has to be a good point guard. And if he's good, I think the team can be great. 646-478-5554 is the number. TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Alan Hahn from the MSG Network will be joining us in a little while right here on the show. Also, big Josh Harrelson is coming back. Not a guarantee he's going to play tomorrow, but he should play Sunday up in Boston. He just got cleared to practice. He's been out for 6 weeks. And think about the – I mean, I remember opening day. It's like, one, the Knicks had the worst backcourt in the league that day. Two, they had no bench. Now the Knicks all of a sudden have a very good backcourt. And maybe the deepest bench in the NBA. Think about the Knicks bench right now. Coming off the bench, you have Baron Davis, Amon Shumpert, Steve Novak, J.R. Smith, and Jorts, Josh Harrelson, and Jared Jeffries. But here, Bill Walker still. Tony Douglas is obviously not going to play. But here's the thing, though, about the Knicks bench is that who's the odd man out? Now, unfortunately, you still might have injury here or there. It just happens. It's part of life. It's part of basketball. It's part of the NBA. But this bench is so deep, it's tough. But also, one reason why it's not tough is because if you look at March, the Knicks don't have, and I'm sure like many other NBA teams, the Knicks aren't the only team, don't have many off days. So you can have a game where, you know, you don't necessarily want to rest Carmelo, you don't necessarily want to rest Amari, but you can maybe get away with playing a game where Amari Stoudemire only plays 22 minutes and rest him for the next night because your bench is so deep. The Knicks bench is extremely deep, and I know a lot of fans were a little upset at the loss Thursday night in Miami. As a fan, I was a little ticked off because of the hype and, you know, the insanity and wanting to just take down the defending Eastern Conference champions. But I know some fans were calling it a must-win. It wasn't a must-win. There's no such thing as a must-win game before the All-Star, the day before the All-Star break. It just doesn't exist. Hate to break it to you, it just doesn't exist. Did the Knicks want to win? Of course. I mean, every game for the most part for the rest of the year is a must-win. But did the Knicks take it like a Game 7 down in Miami? No. It's the last game before the All-Star break. And could they have used it as a measuring stick? I don't think so, and here's why. Going into that game against the Heat that Thursday night, the Knicks as a team with JR, with Carmelo, with Baron Davis, with Jeremy Lin, Amari Stoudemire, were yet to even have a full practice. Yet to have a practice together. So these days that the Knicks are off, that we're not watching them, and I know we miss watching the Knicks, which we probably wish the Knicks were playing right now and not listening to this show. But these days of practice are extremely important. Whether it's working on defensive assignments, whether it's working on offensive strategies. And, you know, it's funny. You don't hear too many people complaining about the defense. Because for the most part this season, the Knicks' defense has been pretty damn good. Even when the Knicks were not playing their best basketball, losing 8, 10, 12 games in a row, it felt like, they were always playing good defense. They just couldn't put the ball in the hoop to save their lives. So the Knicks playing good defense. Now their offense seems to finally be coming around. And I think the biggest thing offensively that we'll talk about on the show, we'll talk about with Alan Hahn, and we'll talk about with you is, can Carmelo Anthony and Jeremy Lin coexist? Now, I know it hasn't looked great so far. First game versus the Nets wasn't exactly pretty. Next game Wednesday against the Hawks was a little bit better. Knicks had a blowout win beating the Hawks at the Garden without Joe Johnson. And then Thursday night in Miami just obviously didn't look good for anybody. The Heat were the first team to really put a clamp down on Jeremy Lin. I know Darren Williams really took it to him last Monday night at the Garden, but the Heat really put a clamp down on him. But also remember, no excuse here, but the Heat are the best defensive team in the NBA, so Jeremy Lin will never, with the exception of the Heat, well, maybe the Bulls, I guess, too, will never see it defensively as bad as that was Thursday night in Miami. But that's the big conversation for the Knicks is, can Jeremy Lin, can Carmelo Anthony play with each other? And I said this last week, I know it hasn't looked great so far in three games, and you want to say I'm riding this, maybe. You want to say I'm an optimist, maybe. I don't see why it's not going to work long term, at least for the rest of this season. A great scorer and a good point guard. Seems like a match made in heaven. Maybe it doesn't work. It just, to me, I don't see why it wouldn't work. 646-478-5554. But also, Carmelo Anthony's not the only player on the team. You still have to figure out a chemistry with Amari Stoudemire. Jeremy Lin seems like he has a nice little chemistry going on with Tyson Chandler. So there's a ton going on with the New York Knicks right now. How about Steve Novak and his play over the last few weeks? And give credit to Steve Novak, because we've seen guys with the Knicks over the years, or just guys in sports where they sign a contract and maybe they're not getting enough playing time or any playing time for that matter, and they go to the media and they pout and they cry and they whine and they moan and they piss. Stevie Novak didn't do that. He came to his job every day, brought his lunch pail, and he was ready to shoot and never complained. Much credit to Steve Novak for that. And when he got his opportunity, he shined. And ever since that Utah game on that Monday night, and Stevie Novak has been one of the wettest players in the NBA. He's been absolutely great. So much credit to Steve Novak for that. 646-478-5554 is the number of the KnicksBlog.com. The Knicks Blog Radio will be joined by Alan Hahn in a little while. My call screener is yet to get here, so we're going to take calls the first few minutes the old-fashioned style. I'll say your area code, tell me your name, tell me where you're calling from. 646-478-5554. And let's start off with area code 201406. You're on the air, TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Yo, what's up? This is Q from Jersey. I was just wondering,
what's up?
What's wrong with Amari right now? His explosiveness is like not to be seen. Like, is it his knees? Like, what's wrong with him?
You're right. His explosiveness this year hasn't been what it was last year. Could it be partly? I think there's a few reasons why Amari has not been what he was last year. One, he hasn't played with a point guard really all season. So he's been forced to create for himself, and that's just not Amari Stoudemire's game. Maybe even more than one reason. Oh, number two is his back still hurting him from that freak injury in Game 2 versus the Celtics. Is that a possibility? Yes, it is. Another possibility is this. He put on a massive amount of weight in the offseason to bulk up, and Amari Stoudemire's game isn't based on being strong and bulking up. It's based on athleticism, you know, being quick, getting to the basket. So I think Amari Stoudemire bulking up really affected his game, in my opinion. So it could be one of those three or four reasons.
It's not even that. His defense is awful, too. Like, I'll just have
Derek. Well, he's, to be fair, he's never been a good defender. Even last year when he was dominated, he wasn't a great defender. Although he did get a lot of blocked shots off help defense, but he was never a great defender.
I just want to see Jared Jeffries getting more time, too. He's getting no time anymore. Like, we need some defense out there.
Yeah, but listen. It's going to be, especially now, it's going to be tough to find guys a lot of minutes.
Yeah.
Jared Jeffries could be your 11th man. There'll be some games where maybe Jared is the 11th man and some games where Jared's the 6th man. It's going to be tough to find minutes for all these guys, but it's also not a bad problem to have. It's not a bad problem.
No, not at all.
And hopefully with Lynn and Amari Stoudemire gaining chemistry, that hopefully when he's getting set up for passes in the paint, he'll have his explosiveness. But
yeah.
You know, maybe something is going on there. He hasn't complained about it. I think the weight could be an issue. I think it very well could be.
Yeah, I mean, from last year he was just a dominant player. From now he's just an average player.
He's actually put up pretty decent numbers this season, but I get where you're coming from. I definitely do. And Amari really hasn't been the same. I know he had a good game one in Boston last year, but he really hasn't been the same since Carmelo arrived because the style of basketball changed. Now with Jeremy Lin running the offense, you know, you still got Carmelo, but the style will go back to more a typical Mike D'Antoni offense, you'd think, with a guy like Jeremy Lin orchestrating the offense and orchestrating the tempo.
No, let's see what happens tomorrow night.
All right, man, sounds good. Thanks for the call. I appreciate you checking in.
All right.
Take care. 646-478-5554 is the number, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Back to the calls we go. And let's go to area code 347-431. You're on the air, thenixblog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Tony Tone, what's good, baby?
What's up, T? How you doing?
T from the Bronx, BX Finance, man. How you doing?
What up, T? I'm just waiting on my call screener, man. I know I'm making fun of him on the air, but you know it's all good.
Nah, it's all good, man. I'm calling you from from another phone anyway, but it's all love. You know, I was glad to see the New York Post today with Gianna in it. You know, glad that you know she overcame you know what she went through, and you know she's getting the publicity. you know, because of that, you know. God is good, man. I like, you know, seeing, you know, successful stories such as that. I remember, you know, when I met you, and you know, you talked about it, even went to the benefit they had up in the Bronx at the barbershop, man. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, at that time, did you come to the benefit?
Yeah, I did. I came for like 5 or 10 minutes. I was just passing through. I was just there just, you know, just chilling out, just watching everything. So I remember I saw Patrick Ewing Jr. there, Wilson Chandler. Who else is there? You know, I think I saw a couple of other callers.
You know, that event was so cool, but I feel like that was only a month and a half after she was diagnosed, and it was like, it was such a blur to me. Like, especially those first few months after she was diagnosed with cancer, man, it was all just a blur to me.
Right. Yeah, man, you know, things have changed, you know, between now and then, you know, thank God she, you know, she's healed. You know, I was very happy to attend the event, even though it was just for like a couple minutes. But you know,
thank you, yeah, thank you. See, that was a pretty cool event, man. It really was.
Yeah, it was, man. It really was, man. Shout out to everybody that went there. But back to the Knicks now. You know, people need to realize this is Melo's team, man. This is Melo's. This is definitely Melo's team. And you know, I'm seeing you know all these reports on ESPN. They're saying, oh, this is Lynn's team now. But listen, Melo's the one that got us here. You understand? And people, you know, all these sportscasters, writers, they all need to realize that, you know. And I really think that we're going to really make a run in the second half. You know, that game against Miami the other night, our bigs needed to show up. Amari has got to wake up. He definitely has to wake up. I don't know what's going on with him. You know, I understand, you know, he's having a difficult year and he didn't really train a lot in the off season. But still, I mean,
well,
he
trained differently. He lifted weights and bulked up.
You know?
Which I don't think he needs to do.
Yeah. But it's just like, you know, they just need, our bigs need to come through. You know, I mean, the other team's defense, they're going to figure it out, Jeremy Lin. You know, they're going to force him to his left. They're going to try to make him uncomfortable. And that's where, you know, our guys got to hit those shots. They got to make plays for us, whether it's Amari, whether it's Melo. I mean, Melo was 7 for 21, you know. So, and Amari, he has to hit that open shot. I mean, I don't understand how he was good in the first half, and then he just went AWOL in the second half. You know, I just don't understand that, you know. But the coach, Mike D'Antoni, he's going to have to make some adjustments. You know, he has to adapt to his players. You know, and
this is the first time, I mean, Wednesday night. No, not really, because the Shump was out. So I think tomorrow night should be the first game all year. You're going to have the full team. You're going to have Barron, you're going to have Carmelo, you're going to have J.R. Smith, you're going to have Shumpert, Amari. So tomorrow night's going to be the first game all year. You actually have a full squad.
And what is this thing? Why didn't he want to practice before the Miami game? Like, what's this thing about not practicing? He wanted to rest the players. I just don't get it.
Yeah, I can see that. Only because they definitely needed practices, but they did play about 9 games in 12 days. So I had no why they do need to build chemistry, which is what they're doing now. They practiced yesterday, today, practicing Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I get why D'Antoni gave him the day off last Tuesday. You know, you played Sunday, you played Monday. You know, day off Tuesday isn't that bad because you played Wednesday and Thursday anyway. So I really had no problem with it, even though they still need to get to know each other. I think it wasn't a bad thing.
So with this mini training camp, how does that go? Is it like 2 a day?
No, they're just practicing like any other team. It's just they're using it as a mini training camp because that's just what they're using it as.
So this mini training camp, did it start yesterday or it started today?
Yes, yesterday.
Oh, it started yesterday, but Melo didn't make it though, right?
I believe he was there. I know he was there today.
Okay, yeah. I just wanted, you know, just to find out about that because, I mean, I think it's good. I think it's good that the Knicks we definitely need that. Especially with this rising point guard that we have. You have to incorporate, you know, especially with J.R. Smith and George coming back. You know, it's a good I mean, Mike D'Antoni, you know, he has to come through big. I think it's either finals or bust for him. Either conference finals or bust.
Well, I think if they were to get to deep in the second round or conference finals, he'd be back, especially with Jeremy Lin, because Jeremy Lin is perfect for his offense. Jeremy Lin makes the Knicks money.
Yeah, of course.
A ton of money.
I honestly think, man, I mean, he's going to have – this team has to go far, and they're going to have to figure out a way to deal with Miami. Because I really think, like I said before, last week, they could beat the Bulls. I think we match up real, real well with the Bulls. But Miami,
you don't want the Bulls or the Heat in the first round, though. I'm telling you that right now.
I mean, they're not going to have them. I think if
you want to make sure you get one of those – you don't want to get that 7 or 8 seed.
Yeah, but I'll take the – put it like this. If we could face the Bulls, I'd rather take the Bulls over Miami any day. Either we get the 7 seed and we face Miami – I mean, we face the Bulls in the first round, or we get the 3rd seed and we'll face the Bulls in the second round. Either one I'll take because, you know, that's one thing I'm trying to avoid. I'm definitely trying to avoid Miami in the first round. Because, that team is gelling. The way they're playing right now, they have their two superstars with Wade and LeBron. I mean, they're playing at an all-time high right now. I don't want them just running through us just like that. But, man, good show, Anthony, man. Just keep me on. I'm going to listen to Alan Hall, all right?
All right, T. Thanks a lot for the call, man. Always appreciate you checking in.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, T. 646-478-5554 is the number of the Knicks blog. .com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Let's get back to the calls. Let's go to area code 704. You're on the air, the Knicks Blog .com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Hey, what's going on? It's Ant from Queens.
What up, man?
Not much, man. So it's dope that everybody's coming back. They got the real new training camp going on. I think we're going to be all right. I got the schedule right here in the wall and the whole month of March.
You ready? Are you ready for the second half?
I'm definitely ready. Filled up with
I don't hear it in your voice, man.
There's a game every day.
Yo, yell it. Yell that I'm ready.
Nah, that's not my
Come
style.
On, man.
Nah.
You're fired.
Question,
I'm ready. Come on, yell it.
Nah. Sorry.
Come on, man. What if I give you some music?
I don't even yell at the games, bro.
What if I give you some music?
Give me some tickets.
will you chant, go New York, go New York, go?
Of course.
All right, ready? Do it with the beat. All right, let's go.
Go.
Oh, come on, man. You know what? I've heard you call this show before. I know you're a good fan. You're obviously just not a loud fan. It's fine. I love you, though.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, so what's up?
Wait, I got a question. I was on the NBA.com website, and I see that we're 3.5 games behind Philly in the division. At the bottom of where it shows the standings, I don't know if you know, maybe you guys are Alan Hunt, but it says that division winners are guaranteed a top 3 spot in the Eastern Conference.
What's that?
Playoff, right?
Yeah, exactly, yep.
So if we win that Atlantic division, we get the 3rd spot?
Yeah, but it could the court advantage could change if the 3rd seed had a better record, stuff like that.
Like, all right, so say Orlando finished with a better record, but they're in Miami's division, and we win our division, then we get the 3rd seed. That's what I read. That's what it says. But I'm not sure if that's how it works.
Right. What's the question?
Okay. Right now, Orlando's in 3rd place.
Right.
Philadelphia is behind them, but Philadelphia is the division leader in the Atlantic, and we're 3.5 behind them. So we finish ahead of Philly. Does that guarantee us a number 3 spot? Because that's what it says.
I think so, but I'll ask Alan that. He's actually on the line now, so call back the next show, all right, my man? And next time, I want to hear some more energy out of you, okay?
Definitely.
All right, thanks for the call. 646-478-5554. We'll get back to the calls in a little bit. Right now on the line, you see him before and after the games on the MSG Network. He's doing a phenomenal job. Please welcome to the show, Alan Hahn. Alan, what's going on, man?
What's up, Anthony? How you doing?
I am doing good. I had my my All-Star break, and now I'm finally ready to get back to the season.
Yeah, it feels like too long of a break. It's a short season. We're so used to these games one after the other, and then you get, we got 4 or 5 days between games, almost a full week between games, actually, and I feel I'm going through withdrawal.
Yeah, exactly. And now I'm going to say this. I've said this to, like, 6 people in the last, like, 2 years, and every person looks at me like I'm crazy. So there's a chance you do the same. So I take All-Star Weekend as my – now, I usually don't watch all the stuff because I take All-Star Weekend as my time to regroup and relax in the first half. Do you find that crazy just because I technically didn't play a second for the Knicks? But I take it as a time to regroup for me.
You could look at it that way. This is my first year as I'm not a beat writer now, so – you know, generally I'd be at All-Star Weekend. This is one of the first, you know, I just am not at All-Star Weekend. I don't have to cover anything. You know, last year in L.A. with all the Melopalooza, it was insane, I have to admit. That was a crazy weekend for me. And then coming back and, you know, literally jet-lagged off the plane, a red-eye back to New York, and literally getting right back to work to chase down the rumors because by that night, you know, the trade had started to go down. So, you know, that was insane. And this year was kind of nice. It was kind of nice to just kind of chill a little bit and sit back and watch. Some of it I DVR'd, some of it I watched live. And, you know, it was good to detach a little bit. But now I'm going crazy. I have to wait till tomorrow night for a game. And then we don't do another game until after Sunday. So not till next week again. So I'm ready to get back to this thing.
Exactly. I'm going to miss watching the game as well, but how important is it for the Knicks to get practices with all the new guys coming on to the squad now to get practices yesterday, today? Now, are they going to practice and obviously play tomorrow against the Cavs? Will they practice Thursday, Friday, and Saturday before Sunday's game versus the Celtics?
Yeah, that's the plan. The plan was to get a full weekend, and, obviously tomorrow night's game is important. The Cavs are playing tonight against Celtics, so that's interesting too, because at least they're in a back-to-back right away, whereas the Knicks will have their rest and be able to just kind of game plan for the Cavs a little bit. show off the depth a little bit as well, but I think really the focus is this entire week, not just what happens tomorrow night, but really trying to get things right, get themselves into an identity defensively where everybody knows the job that they have to do. When they come off the bench or when they start the game, there are no questions what you need to be doing, and everybody's on the same page. And I think that, you know, that's what this week's all about, is getting this group. Today, you know, yesterday was unofficial where the players got together and did their own thing at the training center. But today was really the first official practice that this team and its full roster has had this season. Baron Davis, J.R. Smith, you know, you think about it, it's really the first time, even with Jeremy, with Carmelo, his first practice with him. They haven't had any practice time where they've been able to figure it out, make mistakes, whatever it takes. You know, this has been live game time. So this is what's made this so different, I think, Anthony, is that they can now practice a little bit and get that continuity you need, make the mistakes and figure it out in the scrimmages, even during tomorrow night's game. You know, see things that, you know, you try some stuff in live action and realize that, you know, this isn't going to work, that's going to work. And then you take it to that Sunday game against the Celtics, which I think, you know, I would treat that, if you're a fan, I'm treating that as really the first real game of the regular season. To me,
right,
that game,
I definitely,
30 to go from that game on.
Right, Alan, I definitely agree, and that's why I kind of told some fans on Twitter, like, you know, people were hitting me up saying, you know, Thursday night in Miami is a must win, and I was like, listen, as a fan, I absolutely want to beat their brains in, and I'm pumped up,
right,
and I had the party, but it's not a must win, and there's no such thing as a must win game when you're traveling to All-Star Weekend 2 hours after the game, so let's just be honest,
yeah.
But
Think about this too. A lot of people did, you know, when you look at that Miami game, and sure, it was a showdown. It was on TNT. It was the first, you know, time that Jeremy Lin and all this stuff was going to, you know, take on the best team in the league. And, you know, it was the Knicks Heat rivalry and everything that goes with it. But the Knicks had played the night before. They flew into Miami, and we all know what that flight is like from New York to Miami. It's not a short flight. It's not a quick flight. And when you leave after 11 o'clock, you're not getting into your hotel room now, not just landing, but get to your hotel room and hit the pillow till almost 4 o'clock in the morning. All right, so you have that, and now you're going to play a game against the best team in the league. You know, some unbelievable athletes. They got a day's rest, a day to prepare for you, and they're ready to come after your young point guard. I mean, that was walking into a trap. You know what I mean? That game was walking into a trap, and so the fact that they had whatever it was, 12 turnovers at the half, and still we're only down by four, to me was a shock. And the fact that they ran out of gas in the third quarter was no surprise to me. But,
no,
you know, no, that's not a must win. What that was just see what you got and then bank it. Put it in the memory bank for April 15th back at the Garden.
You mentioned about guys and roles. With so many personalities and scorers on this team right
now,
I mean, Knicks are, it's like they're stacked from 1 to 12. Do guys know their roles, and are guys willing to accept the roles they're given to them in order to be successful this season?
I think that's the second part of that is the big part, is you have to get a group. And I think, and you know, everything's easy when it starts, and you know, you wait to animosity to see true character show. But I think you have a group here that, you know, from what I've gotten out of practice, you know, being at practice today, this is a group that they believe they can do something. I mean, they think they've got something special. Like you said, they know they're deep. I mean, to me, the entertaining thing was watching the scrimmage and saying to myself, you know, that second squad is pretty good. You know, I mean, it's a pretty good second squad. So they give the starters a challenge, and I think that's something, you know, you think about how good guys can be. But the important thing is knowing that there's certain games, game situation, game by game, opponent for opponent, is certain players are going to be important in certain games, but maybe not every game. So you'll say, you know, Josh Harrelson came off the bench and had a really good game against the Nets. How come he didn't play the next game as many minutes? Well, because the matchup might not have been there for him. It might not have been the right situation, just same as Steve Novak. The same for anybody. You know, when you look at the bench and when you look at the starters and you say, well, you know, here's a game where they didn't use Landry Field. They used J.R. Smith down the stretch. Why is that? It's matchups, hot hand, whatever it is. And, you know, let the fans and the media get caught up in who's playing, who's not playing. what guy is averaging what, you know, whose numbers are down, whose numbers are up, and let the team worry about what was the final score and did you win or did you not win. And I think that's what they're all trying to buy into. You know, it's 31 games to go here. So no one's going to – there's no, nothing to shoot for except to make the playoffs and win. There's no all-star team to make. You know, no one on this team is going to be an MVP unless they have an astronomical second half of the year, I should say. So really, what are guys playing for except for a playoff spot, a good playoff spot, and to advance in the playoffs and make something happen? So I think you should see guys that want to buy in and buy into the team thing and not get so caught up in themselves here, and I think that's important. But let's keep in mind, too, a lot of these guys are on one-year deals, and they do have to worry about their numbers a little bit because they are going to want to cash in the offseason.
Talking to Alan Hahn of the MSG Network right here on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Alan, so many just intriguing personalities on this team now, and you could talk about a little bit for every player. I'm not going to go down every guy. And we've talked a lot about Baron Davis in the last show, and he's interesting to me. But the guy I'd like to ask you about, because I said hello to him a few times, and you've probably been around him a lot more, he seems very professional, and that's Steve Novak. I mean,
yeah.
Beyond the fact he's about as wet as you can get, but a guy who wasn't playing at all, you know, coming to the gym, to the Garden every game, not getting off the bench, to having a big role. How about his professionalism through that stretch?
I'll tell you what, first time I met him, I mean, I had talked to him a little bit here and there, friendly conversation, but after he really started to get hot and started to show what he could do, I saw him again, and I said, dude, I got to tell you, I have never been happier to be wrong about somebody, you know. And he laughed, and I said, no, seriously. I said, you know, the scouting report on you was that you can't defend and you can't rebound and that you don't shoot well enough that you can be, you know, that people can afford to give you big minutes. And I said, 5 previous years of your career, your minutes are low. You know, teams didn't really give you a chance. And so I just felt the scouting report was there, and he laughed, and he goes, well, you know, when I first saw you, I didn't think you were much of an analyst either. So it was good. It was all in good fun. And then, but the idea was, and he said that, you know, but at one point the scouting report was accurate, and you get smarter when you're around the league, and you work harder, and you get stronger, and you realize the weaknesses that you need to get better at. And he said, and that's basically what happened to him. He's in the league 6 years now. He kind of understands it, and he knows his weaknesses, and he knows how to kind of hide them better. But the confidence in his shot right now is off the charts. And I watched him in practice today, and I'm not exaggerating. I don't recall him missing. And I'm talking about not layups, not short jumpers. And we were laughing because there were a couple of coaches around me that were sitting up front and we were watching. Not Knicks coaches, but, you know, the usual coaches that come and watch, college coaches, high school coaches that are invited in. And I remember saying, I said, has he missed yet? And they're all looking at me like, I don't think so. I'm like, I haven't seen him miss. And then the more scrimmage goes on, and it's just whap, 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 whap. And I'm like, he hasn't missed a shot yet. And he just kept going. And so that's confidence. And that's just kind of belief in yourself. And it's also knowing that the coaching staff believes in you and that you have the green light. Go ahead and take it. That's part of our offense. Go ahead and take it. I mean, that's, I think that he hears that in his head now, and that he doesn't feel like, if I take this shot, I'm going to be yanked, or if I miss this shot, I'm going to be yanked. No. If he misses that shot, he's basically being told, take it again. And not just the coaches. Carmelo's telling him, take it again. I mean, the one thing I've noticed about Steve Novak, and you talk about professionalism and all that stuff, and look, that's obvious because of the hard work that he's put in. But what stands out to me is how the other players on the team have taken to him, because they see him in the practice scrimmages. They see him in the post-practice workouts. They know what he can do. So when he does miss, you don't see a single guy, like, kind of shake their head at him, like, man, stop shooting. You don't see a guard stop giving him the ball like we saw Raymond Felton and Danilo Gallinari last year. You don't see that. What you see is they give it back to him and say, do it again, dude. Because there's, you know, 14 guys on that team look at him and say, we know you'll make the next one. And that, to me, if you're a player, that's the greatest compliment you can get, and that can only give you confidence. And I think that's where Steve Novak is right now. First time in his career, maybe, that he feels like he belongs, and he feels confidence, not just in himself, but from his teammates.
I was actually watching
a game last year in ABC. I think it was the Spurs, obviously, because Steve Novak was playing. It's like the end of a quarter, and Stevie Novak just randomly got in the game. And, you know, Jeff, Mike, and Mark are bantering back and forth. And it was like, and Jeff just goes, if he ever gets a big-time opportunity, he will be just, like, amazing. He's, like, the best shooter I've ever seen. So then Mike and Mark's, like, making fun of him or whatever. Like, what are you talking about, Jeff? And then Jeff is like, trust me, if this guy ever gets a major opportunity, he will be flat-out awesome. And I never forgot that conversation. And when the Knicks got Novak, I actually thought of that. And then he didn't play the first 15 games. And now he's been, like you said, he's been awesome.
Yeah. And you know, the funny thing is that I remember that conversation because I know that Jeff said that many times. And a lot of times I thought it was in jest. You know, like he was a good practice shooter because the league is loaded with good practice shooters. You know, Matt Carroll is a good practice shooter. But you don't see Matt Carroll lighting it up in the league. He might have had one or two games, which was similar to Steve Novak.
Against the Knicks.
Throughout it, yeah, actually Matt Carroll did have one against the Knicks too. But it's just that, you know, Novak throughout his career had, you know, a good game here and there when he just kind of got hot for a couple of minutes. But, you know, he never really had what he's been doing lately where it's just, you know, he knows how to get open, the ball's finding him, and he's just knocking it down, hand in the face or not. Pump fake, lets a guy fly by, and still has the wherewithal to collect himself and knock it down. And so that's just, it's the right place at the right time. So we've talked so much about Jeremy Lin over the last 3 weeks, but, you know, Novak, too, it's the right place at the right time. Where he was at the end of the bench, and they needed something. They needed something positive to happen. And he was ready, and this is a lesson to any of you ballers out there who are still young guys, who are still playing in high school and aren't, you know, aren't getting a chance and maybe getting frustrated by it, maybe even getting bitter about it. Stay ready, because that's the most important thing. That's a professional. A professional stays ready because you never know. Ankles turn, knees buckle, you know, fouls happen, and all of a sudden the coach has, he has no choice, whether he likes you or not. He's got to put you in the game. He might be desperate like D'Antoni was with Jeremy Lin and just like, let's see what you can do. Everybody says you can do this. Let's see if you can do it. And if you're that kid, man, stay ready, because when you get your chance, you don't want to regret the fact that you weren't ready, that you didn't read the scouting report before the game, that you didn't take those extra shots after practice, because that day when your name is called and you check into the game and you're nervous, you just blew it. You weren't ready. And Steve Novak was ready. And now it's going to be hard to keep him out of this rotation, no matter how deep this team is.
No, absolutely. No, definitely great stuff on Steve Novak. And obviously, I guess it wouldn't be a spot if we didn't get into Jeremy Lin. Obviously, I didn't want to open with Jeremy Lin because, you know, I try to do something unique. But he's obviously been a big part of the Knicks. And I'm going to – I guess you've probably done so many interviews the last few weeks on Jeremy Lin sanity, this and that. I'm going to start off with a different Jeremy Lin question. And if you had this one already, then whatever. How has Jeremy Lin changed your life, Alan Hahn?
He's made me stop scouring the league for available point guards. I know that, because that's really been that was such the focus in the first half when, you know, it took, you know, look, I'm not going to try to act like a prophet here, but you know, when they amnestied Chauncey Billups, my immediate thought was that Tony Douglas can't do this. And it wasn't that, you know, I didn't believe in Tony Douglas, because I'm one of those people that, you know, and that's one of the reasons why I wasn't as good as a beat writer as most people, is that I believe in people too much instead of being cynical or skeptical, is I want to see them succeed. And a lot of times I thought, I think Tony can do this, but, it, you know, deep down I'm like, I don't think Tony can do this. They got to find somebody that's a playmaker. They, you know, Tony's a scorer, but he's not really a playmaker, and he's got two stars on the team. So, you know, from day one, I was looking around the league like, well, who can they get? Can they get Ramon Sessions? Can they trade for Luke Ridnour? Can they do this? Can they do that? Just to figure out how are they going to do this. And I think so once Jeremy Lin showed that he was a real player, and I mean the novelty for me, it was over pretty quick. I didn't need the Laker game. It was before the Laker game. I said, this kid can play. I don't care what he does against the Lakers. He can play. And then he did what he did against the Lakers, and that was like, all right, well, that's it. You know, and then even the Mavericks game and obviously the Toronto game. But to me, it kind of puts that to rest. How do they get Steve Nash? What if they brought back Raymond Felton? What if they did this? What if they did that? Now it's like you don't have to start worrying about that stuff anymore. And you know, to me, it changes the way you analyze the team. So, you know, in a real boring way, how did he change, you know, how did he change things for me? That's how he changed it for me, is that, is that now when you look at the Knicks, you're not looking at that big hole at the point guard position anymore. You're looking at a fairly complete five. And now it's like, let's just see what happens.
How am I going to word this one? Okay, so we talked about players staying ready. And Mike D'Antoni just threw Jeremy Lin out there that Saturday night, February 4th, versus the Nets. Did Mike D'Antoni and his coach, this is my envision that this happened over some pizzas and some beers or wines in the back in Westchester. They're all sitting around and Mike's like, all right, guys, I think he's ready. He's just going to take over. Did that happen or did he really just throw him out there like, I don't know what to expect?
Well, the way I know it from talking to friends of mine, that Houston Rockets game was a bit of an eye-opener. Because, you know, before that, when he played, he wasn't very good.
Saturday night game on the road?
I mean, that was the end of a trip, and it was a tough, tough loss. I had a lot of lineups that Mike put out there were very questionable in that third quarter. But Lin was one of the players he put out there, and you know, I got to admit, I mean, even on the air, I questioned it. I said, how do you put a guy out there who's never played with any of these guys before? You know, you put him out there with starters, and there's just they have no experience together. Because I thought the Rockets game they had a shot to win that game. And, but he opened eyes, and we did something the next home game in the pregame. We did a little segment where I showed, and though it was limited minutes, he had 9 points and 6 assists, and I said he was able to get into the paint, which is no other guard on the team had been able to do. And I think that was a big part of it. I just said to myself, it kind of showed you. It was a small window of what a penetrating point guard can do to kind of get this offense moving a little bit, because there were a couple assists for dunks, a couple of blown assists because guys weren't ready for the pass or guys missed the layup. We did a little segment there, and I thought, well, this just shows you that they can get a guard who can penetrate. Now, I didn't say if Jeremy Lin can do this. I just said it just shows you that if they can get a guard who could do it. But that was enough, and they saw him a little more in practice. The Stars always saw him in those post-practice scrimmages, three-on-threes, and you know, and I think it was just a matter of give them a chance, and they started to a little bit and, you know, saw some things, and there was enough in the scouting report that suggested that he had the pedigree, that he had the skill set, but no one wanted to believe it, like, yeah, but, you know, what if he did this, and we don't know if he can do that, and I guess it just got to that point after playing him in the first half in Boston, and D'Antoni admitted to me he didn't have the confidence to put him in the second half in Boston. He just didn't think he'd be able to handle it, and they really thought they had a shot in that game. And you remember, that was a close game to the end, same as that Chicago game. I mean, you know, people want to forget this, but this team was starting to come around before Jeremy Lin emerged. They were starting to come around defensively especially, and the offense still struggled, but that Celtics game was a tight one. That Bulls game was a tight one. The Nets game obviously started out poorly, and that was not good. It was a third and three nights, but it was not good. And then Jeremy comes in, and then second half is when they decided, stick with him, let's see if he can do this. And we all know what happened after that.
Yeah, the first game was like a movie, and it was like, you know, the next day I'm like, all right, can this last? It could have changed the season. I remember seeing some of the players after the game, and they were like genuinely happy. They were like, that was awesome. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But that reminded me of, you know, you remember when Sunday Out of Games came up from the D-League with Utah?
Oh, hit the buzzer beater,
Yeah, and they played I believe it was the Heat.
The Cavs.
Right, the Cavs. And he knocks down the three-pointer at the buzzer. It was this big shot, and this incredible moment for him, and there was all this talk about him, this and that. And then the very next game was like, it was gone. I mean, it was gone. So that's the kind of feeling you have, is, all right, that was cute. You know, Nate Robinson had those nights. You know, Nate Robinson just suddenly exploded in the second half of a game and willed the Knicks to a win. You know, and then you thought, all right, well, that's great. And then shouldn't they start Nate? I mean, he's got so much going, but you just felt like that was just a hot hand. You know, you can't keep a hot hand going. But for Lin, it wasn't the hot hand. It was that he had I'm going to steal a line here, but it's like they say, you know, you need a point guard who has the keys to the game. Well, Jeremy Lin just picked the lock, you know, and that's basically what he did, and unlocked the offense just with his skills. And it wasn't a hot hand. It was just his ability. And that's why when they put him in against Utah, it was like, no, this is real. You know, this is real. And that's to me what really opened eyes up, is when you watched what happened with the offense just strictly from the ball being in his hands and the vision he had.
Yeah, I agree. And it was cool seeing some of the players after the Nets game, the first game, and they were just like,
yo, that was awesome. Like, that was cool. Like, you know what I mean? Like that was some cool stuff tonight that happened. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So it's been absolutely insane since you could break down every game. We're not going to do that. But where does I'd like to get into some other things on the show. Where does the Laker game rank in Garden moments in your life? Because to me, that's up there for me. That was just unreal.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
when
you
factor in everything.
Yeah, you can't count playoffs though. I mean, I'm sorry,
no.
But you know, I don't put that top 10 if you're going to go playoffs. I mean, if I'm counting playoffs too, I'm sorry, it's not top 10. But if you're going
not counting playoffs, that's got to be up.
Yeah,
there.
If you're going regular season, I mean, that's, you know, that's as memorable as they come. I mean, that's Kobe's 61. That's Bernard's 60. That's to me, that's Trent Tucker's 3. You know, that's there's a lot of those kind of moments that come to mind. You know, when you think about, you know, just incredible. Look, I mean, you got to think about a Garden moment, that comeback win over the Bucks back in 1970, down 18, I believe, with 2 minutes to go. I mean, you know, those are special moments. But you see, every season that turns out special has a moment like that that sort of spurs that year where you're like, oh, there's something magical is going to happen. You know, and I think that's what makes this team all of a sudden so interesting, because they were so desperate. And then that game, that Laker game, you know, again, the Net game was the Net game, the Jazz game, all that stuff. Those are games that kind of like built momentum where you're like, this is fun. That Laker game, it was like, this isn't just fun now. This is something special. And yeah, they caught the Lakers, look, on a back-to-back, and they caught the Lakers in the middle of that long road trip. And the Lakers aren't really good right now. They're a bit of an anomaly, but it doesn't matter. I mean, it still was a huge stage with a lot of pressure, and his performance was, you know, one of the great regular season performances in franchise history.
You mentioned moments, Alan, and I talked about before Jeremy Lin started even playing, I said, I'm not sure if the Knicks are going to turn this season around, but if they do, they need a moment. And I've talked about the 1999, hate to compare the two teams, but whatever, we're having some fun. The Knicks moment in 1999 was actually with 7 games left. They went down to Miami, down 28, and they came back and won on a big Larry Johnson 3. And that just got them fired up, and that was their moment. And I think the Knicks had their moment with, you know, whether it was, I think it was the Nets game, even though it was obviously a lot more games to go than the Knicks having 7 games left in 99.
I'd like to say, I want to save the moment, quote unquote, for April 15th at the Garden against LeBron and company. Because I'm looking forward to that one. Because I know, you know, see, fans, and this is something I put on Twitter because, you know, and I use the new edition quote, you know, it's Can You Stand the Rain is one of my favorite songs from when I was younger. And it's because of the message in it. It's the idea that anybody, you know, it's easy when it's sunny out. But can you get through the storm? You know, and I think fans are having a hard time with that. They want instant success. They want this team to win 15 straight games so they can feel better and they can relax. Well, it ain't going to be like that. This is going to be tough. There's still going to be some tough nights, some ugly nights. There might be another really bad loss here somewhere along the way. But you got to get through the pain. And Thursday night, that second half, that was pain. That was pain if you were a Knicks fan, because the Heat were running all over you. They were dunking on you, and you had to sit there and suck it up. And if you sat there and left your TV on and sat through it and watched it and didn't give up, then you're a true fan, because you have to kind of endure this stuff. And to me, you use this week and you start getting better and you get guys on the same page and you get guys buying in and you go through your lumps and you deal with it. To me, you know, you don't want to peak in January and February. You know, if I were on a team, if I was a fan, I'd want to be peaking in April. Especially in a season like this, I'd want to be hitting my stride April 15th, and then here come the Heat. And now I'm like, you know what? Now let's see how they match up, because you got Amari. Let's see if Amari finally gets his legs going. Let's see if Melo can finally get his stroke going by then, if Baron Davis can get that rust off and go back to being the Baron Davis he was. Jeremy starts learning the nuances and the little things, the little weaknesses that other people are starting to find, and the more experience now under his belt. Tyson gets the hand right where he doesn't have any more problems with his hand, and the bench gets stronger and stronger. You know what I mean? And then we see what happens April 15th. And then to me, if they can pull that one off at the Garden, that's a moment. And that's a moment where if they win that game and do it pretty impressively, now you say to yourself, something special could happen this year.
That would be something. A lot of people are saying that Jeremy Lin and Carmelo can't work together. I don't see why it wouldn't work. You know, pretty. I'm not going to say great point guard yet. Pretty good point guard who's a really good passer, great scorer. To me, it seems like it's a no-brainer, but, is there a chance it couldn't work?
Well, there's always a chance it couldn't work, and to me, the chance it couldn't work is because one of them doesn't want it to work, and I have no evidence of that. To me, it's the ball's in Jeremy's hands, and for Carmelo, the idea is to play within the system, but also to find a way where he doesn't have to be a playmaker and do too much. I still think he's doing too much or trying to do too much instead of just being a scorer. Just get the ball and score. And part of it could be the fact that he's still not right because we see how he's shooting the ball, and he's not shooting the ball as well as he should. He played okay in the All-Star game, especially in the fourth quarter, but he still missed 3 three-pointers. He's still not hitting the three ball, the deep ball. And I think that's something that, you know, you have to see if he can work his way through that and get his body right. But if all he has to do is catch and shoot, then it's going to be very easy for him. If all he has to do when he catches the ball is attack, then it should be very easy for him. Nobody's asking him to be Larry Bird anymore, which is something I think that hurt him earlier in the season. So it should work. And to me, the collective thing for both of them is really not on offense because they're too talented for it to not work offensively. They'll figure that part out with time. It's the defensive end. I want to see Carmelo show the same energy and effort at the defensive end consistently to me to be a superstar. You know, if he wants to be considered among the LeBrons and the Dwayne Wades, then he's got to put it at the other end as well, and that's the way it works. If he does that, because Jeremy does that on defensive end, and I think if Melo does that, then you got something.
Absolutely. Alan, one more thing before I let you go. If it wasn't the first thing you thought of when you woke up this morning, it's okay, I forgive you. When you woke up this morning, did you say to yourself, 9 years ago today, this happened? And I don't know if the Knicks tweeted it today. If they did, they might have. I didn't notice. But do you know what happened 9 years ago today?
Well,
I'm sick enough where I woke up and thought about it, but that's me, for example.
Yeah, well, I don't remember the exact date of Patrick Ewing, but I don't think it was that trade.
No, it was retiring Patrick Ewing's jersey, actually.
Well, I figured it had something to do with Patrick Ewing, but I know it was longer ago that he was traded. But to me, that's the day, you know, for our generation anyway, you know, that's the day the music died. That's when Walt Frazier was traded. You know, that's when the era officially ends, and we saw what happened in the years after that. But no, the retirement of the jersey was nice, but I still think there's still a detachment there with Patrick and the franchise. I don't think, you know, that's really a healed wound at this point. But I still look back a year ago was, you know, Carmelo is still new as a Knick, and there was a lot of promise there. And I'm wondering how in 1 year that has disappeared from some people's minds. And you know, that's something that still needs to be fixed.
Yeah, it's crazy how that happens. But, yeah, the Ewing trade was actually, I don't have the date in my head, it was September of 2000.
Yeah, no, I know that it was before the season, right, yeah.
Yep, it happened in July of 2000, if you remember. Then it got nicked. There was, like, five teams involved, and they were supposed to get Vinny Baker, and it didn't go through. Then it ended up going through right before training camp in September of 2000.
Well, they were still trying to talk him out of it. I remember Jeff tried to meet with him and tried to talk him out of it, but he was long gone by then. He didn't want it anymore. And you know, look, there's everybody has a reason to criticize, and as long as there's fact behind it. And you know, so I look at what's going on with Melo right now, and you know, and look, you can give Melo a hard time on certain parts of his game, and you can get on him, and in fairness. But what's happening right now to me is so familiar to the way Patrick was treated during his career. That's the stuff that bothers me, is that you wonder why LeBron didn't want to come to New York, and not just because, you know, the cozy confines of Miami and South Beach and his good friend Dwayne Wade, but LeBron would have never been able to handle this. He would have never been able to handle this, and the fact that if he would have come here and the Knicks wouldn't have made it, and you know, the criticism that he would have faced, and just think about how much criticism. I mean, the guy threw a ball away in an All-Star game, and all we do is focus on the fact that he can't close. I mean, it's just imagine that in New York and what he would have faced. And you know, Melo's taking it, and he's taking it straight up, and he has every opportunity to lash back, and he hasn't. But, you know, we got to be careful from a fan point of view. I mean, media is going to do what we do. But from a fan point of view, some people need to be careful about what they're saying and what they're doing towards Carmelo Anthony. The guy is a star, and, you know, you can't win a championship without him. That's how I feel. You cannot win a championship without him. So
yeah,
he's
got to
get on board in a couple of things. But, you know, when you think about Patrick Ewing and the memories that I have from, because that's my generation, that was my hero, and the way he was treated, fans got to be a little careful right now.
Yeah, because Patrick was treated like that throughout his whole time being a Nick. It was like
long time. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah.
And that's just a shame. I only remember clearly his last 5 years as a Nick, but I remember being at Nick games in the late 90s, him catching the ball in the post, and, like, people next to me with beers in their hand and hot dogs, like, booing when he caught the ball in the post.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
And then it's like, well, I'm thinking myself, I'm like 12, 13,
you know why?
Why are you booing this guy?
No, the funny thing is, does this sound familiar? He slowed down the offense because it was methodical and plotting, because he would catch the ball and he would do what he does, and people were tired of it. And nobody wanted to see it anymore, I guess. I don't know. But this wasn't anything new. I understand that in 1990, 91, he wanted to be traded. He wanted out. I mean, they had to talk him into staying. They had to talk him into hanging with them. He didn't like where the franchise was going. There was all kinds of changes in the front office. It seemed constant, the coaching changes and front office changes that were going on. And it wasn't until Pat Riley showed up, and Pat Riley had a talk with him and basically said, we're going to change things here. And that's what really got Patrick back buying in to staying with the Knicks. You know, so people think about the late 90s and how he was here too long and he soured. No, this was early in his career when he was just emerging as a superstar in the 89, 90, 91, where he had already had it with the treatment. You know, there was a question once posed to him when he was a rookie. In his second year, where he was asked about how he's become an expert at losing. Because the team was so bad. And he had played at Georgetown, and, you know, they always won. And the reporter actually said to him, so now that you're an expert at losing, and he cut him off right away. He says, no, I'm not an expert at losing. Like, he took that offense. Like, can you imagine that? You know, but that's what you face, and that's what New York sometimes is about, and that's why it's so hard sometimes to win here. But when you do, that's why it's the greatest feeling in the world.
Yeah, and one more thing on the Patrick note. It's funny now. I don't think there's an athlete, one, that's more appreciated now in all of sports in New York than Patrick Ewing. I mean, it's been 11, 10 years now, and every time he gets back, he gets like a one-minute standing ovation. And I'll never forget when he came back with Seattle, I think fans were like, damn, man, we had this guy? And then
that's
on Ewing night 9 years ago tonight, it was even worse. It was like, yeah. Because now we're 15 games under 500 with Clarence Weatherspoon and Othella Harrington in the front court. Like, yeah, we had this guy.
You don't know what you got till it's gone, but you also have to think about these things, too. You have to think about legacy and what's important about sometimes it's just better to keep a guy because you owe it to him. And I go here with Amari Stoudemire, too, because everybody's ready to just, you know, jump off that bandwagon. Everybody's ready to cut him loose, trade him for this, trade him for that. He's done, he's this and that. You know what? If it takes Amari a half a season to get himself right, he's earned that. He's earned that because he put the hat on that day in July and said the Knicks are back. All right? And that's what I think people have to, you know, you have to understand that you just don't cut a guy loose when he does that for you. And Patrick sweat buckets for 15 years for this franchise. And it was like, get rid of him. I'm done with him. I've had it. I'm sick of looking at him. Oh, really? Well, now you've destroyed the legacy because you didn't want him. The fans treated him like garbage, but he wasn't good to the, you know, it was sick. It was two ways. But it's just the whole idea that it's tainted what was a great era, even though they didn't win any championships, and we reminded that all the time. No, but they did go to two finals, and it was some pretty exciting basketball, and they were one of the best teams in the league for a long, long time. So what you've done with that, instead of being able to really connect to that era and carry it into the next era, you just cut it loose, and it's never going to be right. And I think that's a problem, too. And I think so if you do this to a guy like Amari and you mistreat him and you start, you know, well, we got Jeremy Lin now, we don't need this guy, we don't need this guy, we don't need stars, come on now. You know, again, Amari was the first to come. Melo wanted to be here, okay? You know, those are things you can't overlook. The idea is you work with it. You work with it, and you make sure these guys know you're gonna hold the flame under their feet. And that's what you're supposed to do as fans and as media. But let's not get to a point where you're just ready to cut him loose because he's not satisfying you soon enough. And I think that's something that people have to think about, because the Ewing thing and how that ended and the bitterness that kind of exists there, even though he's made his peace, still isn't right. And I think that should have ended better than it did.
Alan, that was a thing of beauty, what you just said. I don't almost gonna get me emotional on the show. That was beautiful. It's so true. I'm gonna have to get out my Ewing banner tonight and have a. I'm just kidding. Oh man, that was great stuff, Alan. It was man, that you're so right about that stuff. So right. But it's obviously great having you on tonight. I think tomorrow I'm gonna wear a Ewing jersey and an old school snapback.
There you go.
Thanks a lot for coming on, man. Always appreciate it. Always fun, and I'll see you at the Garden tomorrow night.
All right, you got it, brother. Take care.
Take care, Alan. That was Alan Hahn from the MSG Network right here on theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Just a phenomenal job. Absolutely phenomenal job. And the last, I mean, it's good to, you know, it's good to go back in time and have some fun conversation, and boy, did he hit the, I mean, we've talked about it on the show from time to time, in some fun conversations, but boy, oh boy, forget about Jeremy Lin for a minute. Forget about all the current Knicks stuff. Did he hit the nail on the head about Patrick Ewing? What a, you know, you don't want to just cut players off because they, you know. Oh, man, I just can't say enough about what he said about Patrick Ewing. Love Patrick Ewing. Got time for one more call before we wrap this show up. 646-478-5554. Let's end the show with Jeff in Minnesota. Jeff, you're on the air. TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. What's up, Jeff?
What's going on, Anthony?
What's up, Jeff? How you doing?
That was a good interview you had there with Alan Hahn. And he hit the head on the head, the nail on the head, like you said, with Patrick Ewing. And as a kid growing up with the Patrick Ewing poster on my wall, I even had a pair of Voights, the Patrick Ewing sneakers. You know, and it's sad the way it ended. You know how we just cut him off in the way you just said that. You know, and I always think about those '99 finals, and if we had a healthy Ewing, what could have been? We probably could have beat the Spurs. But, you know, and it's true, you know, we had the young team with Canby, and, you know, we wanted to get rid of Patrick because he was just holding the team's offense back. And it kind of reminds you of what's going on right now. It's definitely funny. But as far as the Knicks are concerned and, you know, what we've been seeing as of late, and like you kind of hit on it, you know, the Knicks need to practice, they need to get the feel of each other and, you know, and learn how to play with each other now they have all this depth. For me, my only complaints are the little things, like I said, you know, not getting the defensive rebounds, not hitting the free throws, you know, not playing within the offense as far as Carmelo is concerned. But I think these things will come, you know, as they get, you know, acquainted with each other.
Yeah, I think they will. It's going to take some time, like Alan said. Could take 5 games, could take 10, but you don't want to be, like Alan said, you don't want to be peaking in February, March. You want to be peaking mid-April, early May. So you want to make sure to get it right, get in the playoffs, and that was easier said than done, and then start peaking.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, have you noticed, like, you know, the Knicks are just regressing on the little things? Like, you know, not – I mean, I don't know what's happened with their free throw shooting. But they have to be the worst free throw shooting team in the last month or so. They seem like they especially can't hit the clutch free throws, but they're just not hitting their free throws in general. And it's been the, you know, the difference between a couple games here. And they've been lucky to win a couple of games, you know, when they didn't hit their free throws.
Yeah, I've noticed. No, the free throws have definitely been down. Hopefully they'll get that back, Jeff. But, you know, those things sometimes go up and down, unfortunately, in the game of basketball.
Yeah. Well, pretty much all I had, you know, hopefully the Knicks have a good week here. They, you know, they finish up, they win the Cleveland game, and finish up the Celtics here. And hopefully we're a couple games over .500. You know, after next week.
Sounds good, Jeff. As always, always great to hear from you, man. Take care. Well, as always, it's been a great show right here on theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Obviously, thank you to Alan Hahn from MSG Network. Also, you know to hit me up on Facebook, facebook.com/TonyRiceBall. Follow me on Twitter, AnthonyMSG. Knicks are back in action tomorrow night at the Garden versus Cavs. I'll be back on the air Thursday night at 9 p.m. So you can listen to all replays of the show on TheKnicksBlog.com. Like I said, follow me on Twitter, AnthonyMSG. Facebook.com/SwingRiceBalls. Everybody have a great night. God bless. Go Knicks.